love the happy music that we're getting today, Davis. It's really good. Thanks for the go-go's. That's fantastic. All right, we've got Janice Gilley on the line. She is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, who always requests her own music and always requests interesting music. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for that opportunity.
Oh, yeah,
I'm a real music fan.
Well, you know, it's funny because we have Jeff Bergosh on, and he always picks his obscure death metal or whatever, and that's fine, you know. And we, you know, some people like the classic rap, and some people don't care, and the mayor likes his U2, so, you know, no worries. I part of the fun of being in radio is we get to play music in addition to talking. So I hope this is something that you guys enjoy too. So one thing I wanted to let's kind of start with this. Obviously, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. A lot of people are making plans, it still, to me, feels about, I think I'm up to 1%. It feels 1% like next week is Thanksgiving. I cannot believe next week is Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. a week from today. But does the county have any kind of, I don't know, guidance or advice for people on what you want people to be doing right now as we're seeing not a big spike, but a local increase in cases in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we are continuing to promote the CDC Thanksgiving guidelines in the sense that, you know, if you attend a gathering, make sure you bring your own food and things like that. Wear a mask, you know, if you're going to be in a closed, confined space. You know, we just want people to be cautious. Obviously, we're still asking you to do the physical distancing if you can. You know, if you're outside of your immediate family that you currently, you know, in your domicile. You know, the other thing is this. I think it's so important that people congregate, but congregate safely, right? Because this isolationism, I think, is turning people, you know, the stress of the situation into, I think, what Quint has coined as the trauma.
Yeah.
Because the length of this pandemic and, you know, just the unsure, the how unsure we are about what next week or the next day will even bring for us in regards to this. So, you know, I think it is important to have those human connections and those conversations with people that you love and the people that, you know, you're closest to. So don't, you know, however you do that, be safe, but also don't disregard how important that community and time together is.
Absolutely. And look, I want to mitigate the disease, but Zoom is not in person. It's not the same. I'm sorry. It's just, it is not an adequate substitute. Not really. And, you know, the president has said this so many times that the cure can't be worse than the disease itself. And no single day of isolation is worse than the disease, but 8 months of isolation may well be. You know, I used to live in Phoenix, and it gets to be 115 in the summer. One day at 115 is not so bad, but after 6 months, you're wiped out from the never-ending grind of it all, and that's where people are at these days, right?
Absolutely. I think there is definite fatigue, so we have to be, you know, cautious and careful in that regard. You know, we did send a reminder. I sent one the day before Veterans Day to our employees, just, you know, trying to remind them to be cautious and careful. And I also have a Thanksgiving message that I'll send out to them tomorrow, because I do want them to go out and enjoy time with family and friends, but I also need them to be safe. Because they're so important to the services that are provided to our community. And, you know, that is the sense of normalcy that we have tried very hard at the county to continue to provide our community, so that you have roads that work, you know, parks that you can go to, you know, animal shelter. I mean, there's just so many things that we provide that are so essential. So I need them to stay healthy so they can continue to provide some sense of normalcy for our community.
Absolutely. Healthy people make better employees. When morale is down, your work product suffers, and we as a country are pretty demoralized right now, unfortunately. And that's why we got to work to, you know, that's why I do the frivolous stuff, just to keep our spirits up just a little bit. Hey, I also wanted to give you a chance, Janice, because I know that this is something that's very important to the people of our community, which is making sure that people have their FEMA claims in by December 1st, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we've been very blessed to get the individual assistance, and there have literally been tens of millions of dollars that have been provided to our community for the folks that have had need. So please visit disasterassistance.gov, because you have to fill out your FEMA application. And then you're also, if you are needing individual assistance for your home or things like that, then you also have to fill out an SBA application. So, you know, it's not an easy one-step process. So please don't let that time go by, because there will be no extension of that time. So it's 2 weeks. It's December 1st. It's 2 weeks from Tuesday.
Yeah.
So please make sure you get that in. And also, as we've said before, if you get a denial, please don't take that as the last answer. You may have to go through a denial with FEMA. You may have to go through a denial with SBA. But sometimes, as I've been told by the FEMA folks, it could be as simple as you didn't check the box right, or you didn't sign, you know, a particular document, or, you know, they needed one more piece of information from you. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a no forever. So unfortunately, that's part of this situation, is you do have to be very tenacious, but you also have to be very organized and provide the information that's requested.
And this is, to me, one of these things where if you've been putting off doing a FEMA app, it's probably because of the work involved. Well, don't wait till Thanksgiving, the last weekend before it's due, to try to make that happen. Do it this weekend so that you're not worried about it. Plus, you've got the December 1st deadline where you need to get your debris out. And so if you've been putting off doing that, when the county, you guys are going to make the final third pass, again, you get this stuff done this weekend, not next weekend, because God knows what might happen on Thanksgiving or what you don't feel like doing, and you don't want to be caught on the back end of this having not taken care of it. Hey, I had a question for you. I was watching this meeting the other day when you guys are dealing with CARES stuff and dealing with the mayor, and I know there's become a fair bit of friction between the mayor and the board over this. Of course, he used to be on the board. One of the things I noticed that seemed weird to me is it seemed like the city would come up with an idea, and then the commissioners would kind of be like, well, I don't know why we're not doing that. You know, why we want that. I couldn't tell if it was jealousy or if it was – but it seems like there could be a lot better coordination between the city and the county over ideas or plans. And can you maybe explain why there's kind of this friction or confusion right now, or what we can do better maybe?
I think one of the things is, you know, there are the list that we had been provided by the city was predominantly items that could be provided through FEMA. And so we had asked to apply to FEMA for those original items. And then we had been told by FEMA that we were going to get paid within 10 to 12 weeks. Well, it became obvious in September, October, that we were not going to get paid within the 10 to 12 weeks for the items that we had submitted March through July. And so we told the city, and then also ourselves, we did not apply after August for any FEMA funds. And so that's one. That was one area of supposed confusion. However, there's plenty of documentation to, you know, show that we were very clear with the city about when we were going to apply to FEMA and when we recommended they apply to FEMA for those items. But, you know, the other thing is this. There are a lot of things that we've done in terms of air handling, filtration systems and stuff like that, that were very similar to what the city had requested. We had just done them earlier in the summer, and, you know, we probably had not reminded the board more, as frequently as maybe we should have, of all the actions that we had taken. So we had already taken a lot of those actions on those items.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to remember everything that we've spent money on
no kidding.
To CARES, and then also given a hurricane on top of it. You know, you're like, okay, we were dealing with CARES and COVID. Then you have a hurricane, and you start thinking in a different direction. You know, maybe you don't go back and revisit the things that had already been done previous to the hurricane. And, you know, that's probably where we could make sure that we remind our board of the things that we'd already spent money on.
I'll tell you, I report on the news every day, and I forget stuff I've reported on even as much recently as yesterday or a week ago, let alone all the things commissioners have to track. I understand that. We're talking to Janice Gilley. Obviously, one of the things that has happened in your world that's changed in the last week is a changing of who is the chairman of the board. We now have Commissioner Bender. Chairman Barry has rotated off. It goes through, a rotation. How much of a difference do you think that will make in anything that you all are doing? And how much, I mean, people aren't really clear, I think, how much power does really reside in that chairmanship position?
So the chairmanship is always important because the chairman then signs on behalf of the board after they take action. And so that is a very important role for the chairman to take. We have a board where I would say that everyone, you know, they're very, very committed to the residents of the community. They're very committed to the residents in their district. And so I think they're evenly balanced in terms of, you know, their commitment to the actions that the board takes and the you know, conversations and the work that takes place at the county. So from a power perspective, I would not necessarily say it's a power role, because I think each of them, you know, like I said, contribute equally to the conversations and to the decisions that are made at the county. However, you know, the chairman can make determinations on the agenda, what items they would like to have on the agenda, what discussions they would like to have, so they can put them out there solely as the chairman. Of course, they take input. Obviously, like, I have not seen where a commissioner has asked for something to be on the agenda and a chairman has not accepted that. But there is a lot of opportunity for the chairman to guide the conversation the way they would like to go, because, you know, they can put it on the agenda and no one can say no. So, you know, that's one of those things. But, and the chairman also represents the county at many functions as the chairman.
Right.
So there are a lot of responsibilities for the chairmanship. I wouldn't use the word power, because I don't perceive our board members as seeing it that way or taking it that way. They are all very, very engaged in the work that's done at the county on behalf of the citizens.
Well, that's very helpful. And obviously, as the chairman runs the meeting, the way rules are applied can sometimes be an issue. But as you say, you know, they're five equally independent board members, and, you know, they're pretty good at sticking up for themselves if ever that's an issue. Hey, last thing I just wanted to ask you, Janice, we got a text in. Somebody says, can you ask Ms. Gilley if we have to contact the county for a storm-damaged tree stacked up on our front curb, or will the debris collectors come by and pick it up automatically?
That is on their curb, a storm damage curb. So I wonder if they mean if it's a hanger, if it's hanging over the road or something.
They say stacked. It's stacked up. So mm-hmm. I assume it's been cut. They're just waiting to get it picked up.
Yeah. If it's on the county right of way, it will be picked up, or even the state right of way, in private gated communities where we've gotten, approval, they will be picked up. There, I do know that there are still a lot of really large roots and ball roots out mm-hmm. there, trunks of trees that need to be gotten up, and that will require special equipment. I've talked to the debris haulers about that, and they're very aware of what they have to do to get those up.
Okay.
But we will not consider those roads complete until those all of that debris is picked up.
Okay, and that's
a
good point.
So we have monitors that make sure we cannot close a road off as completed until all of that is removed.
Very
good.
But
it has to be out by December 1st.
Okay, so you have to make sure it's out by December 1st. But, yes, mm-hmm. that specialized equipment to pick up the really, really heavy stuff is different than the limbs collection one. Well, Janice Gilley, she mm-hmm. is the Escambia County Administrator. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Janice. We very much appreciate the work that you do, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. You have a great day. Y'all take care.